All right, tonight we're going to talk about what does it mean to repent and believe in Jesus, which is going to be really important after I read this verse that we're going to read tonight. All right, so this is a pretty key question. I'm sure probably some of you could almost come up here and tell us a pretty good lesson about maybe how to do this or explain about it. But that's fine. So this is pretty important stuff we're going to talk about tonight. All right, so before we get into that, have you ever seen an image or a movie or something that you just, once you see it, you can't unsee it? You know that feeling? All right, go to the next slide. All right, so I recently watched this, this video of, it was like kind of a, it was an old-timey video, but it was like a tour of this meat packing plant kind of thing. And they show the cows and then they show them like taking the skin off of this cow. And oh my goodness, I'll just never forget it. I mean, it's just emblazoned on my mind forever because it was just like horrifying. All right, well, so not horrifying, but still emblazoned on my mind is the next slide. Not horrifying. It is. It's Ian. That's right. He's not even in here, which is fine. So if God blesses you to have children, that is an experience that you will never forget. The birth of a child. Oh my goodness. Now for my wife, it was a whole different thing. But for me, it was, you know, it's like still pretty emblazoned in my mind. Yeah, and then so it's sort of like when this happened, Ian is our last and not our first one, but when I became a parent, or especially when Isabel was born, there she is. I didn't have yours. We didn't have any. I didn't have any pictures on my laptop. This is like the oldest one I have. But anyway, when I became a parent, that changed. It changed who I was. Like I became a whole different person, just like right then. It was crazy. And so, that you know, there are some of these moments that just sort of, you're just sort of a different person. And, you know, I can never go back. I can't go back and, you know, even if maybe I didn't have kids or if they all leave or whatever, it's like, I'm still always going to be that new person that I am, even, you know, despite whatever the circumstances are, because I went through this experience. And so there's some experiences that are kind of like that. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's sort of the experience of following Jesus is a bit like that. It's sort of this experience that you really once it happens you can't go back and be the other way again. All right, go to the next slide. So this is what I'm going to read you. I'm just going to read two verses here. This is from Mark chapter 1, and this is talking about after Jesus. Remember we talked about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, and then he went out and he was tempted. We talked about that. You sort of remember that. After that, then Jesus was starting his ministry of preaching. And so this is the message that he was preaching, which seems pretty important, right? You know, Jesus has come all this way, born of Mary and gone all through, grown up. He's about 30 years old at this point, so he's lived for a long time, and he's gone through all that temptation with the devil, and now here he is. Here's his message. It's time for him to say the thing he came to say. What's he going to say? Here's what he says. It says, now after John was arrested, which that happened, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, here's what he says, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So that's what he said. That was his message. So he was preaching that to people. And every time he talked to people, he was always talking about the kingdom of God. And people were asking him questions. What is it? What is the kingdom of God like? And what is this? What is it? What is it? What is it not? And he has all these different pictures. To sort of explain a little bit about what the kingdom of God is like. A lot of different parables talk about that. But then he says, repent and believe the gospel. So this repenting and believing, how does that work? Because that language shows up later when Paul's writing his letters to those early Christians. He's telling them about repenting and believing, and they're trying to sort all of this out. And what does this mean? And now here we are, centuries later, looking back, trying to still figure out, what does it mean to repent and believe in Jesus? And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Well, I think there's at least sort of three parts to it that I want to talk about tonight. So let's go to the first slide here, the next one. There is a mental part. What's it look like this guy's doing? Thinking about something, right. That's why I picked this picture. He's just sort of thinking about something. He's just considering. So that's the mental part. So if you, when you're at school and you're taking a test or something, you're using your mental abilities, right? Such as they are, yes. And so so there's a mental part to it. And so that's really what that word repent, in the Greek, it's literally just to think again, or to think a little differently, like think a different way, think the other way or something. And so that's part of repenting. So I have been living my life one way, I've been thinking one way, I've been understanding my environment one way, and now suddenly something's happened, and now I'm going to be thinking about things in a whole different way. So that's a little bit about what Jesus is talking about. He says you need to think differently. You need to have your mind transformed. Paul says that. And so reconsidering how things are, or recognizing a new reality. So, and a lot of times we talk about, and Paul talks about, needing to come to Jesus by faith. We use that word, faith. So faith is just trusting in something that you don't really see, or maybe you don't really understand or know exactly, but you're just believing it. You're trusting. You're having faith. Now, here's the interesting thing about faith is, you know, we sort of think about like, okay, we got all this church stuff that we talk about, and you need faith to believe that. But then you go to school and you're like, well, then we've got like, you know, facts about science and different stuff. Those are just facts. So we don't really need faith to believe those. They're just true. But we sort of need this faith to believe all this church stuff. Well, really, what happens is you actually need faith to believe everything. So when you're at school and your teacher says, you know, this is actually an igneous rock and it came out of a volcano. Well, you weren't there. You didn't see that volcano. So you're just trusting what your teacher says about that. So you're exercising faith to believe what they're saying, and they're exercising faith to believe in whatever they were reading about that. And those people were sort of exercising a little bit of faith because they trust that the world works in a certain way, or that just because this one volcano erupted doesn't mean, does that mean maybe all the other ones do the same thing or something? So we don't know everything in the world there is to know, and so you have to have a starting point. Otherwise, you can't have any thoughts or anything. So if you want to believe something, if you want to know something, it takes faith. So let me give you another example. How many of you know that that your mom and your dad are really your mom and your dad? Or maybe you know they're really not, which is fine too. You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about that. It's like, well, how do I know that though? My mom told me when I was old enough to ask her, she said, you know, you're our son. How do I know that? How do I know that I'm my mom's son? They have some pictures. Yeah, but, you know, they could have photoshopped them. Well, they couldn't have back then because I'm really old. But, right, it was just, I mean, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of evidence, but I don't really remember, you know. It's like, how do I know? Well, all right, so I just have to, really it came down to, I had to trust them. I said, oh, well, you're my mom, you're my dad, I'm going to live in that reality. I didn't really think about that when I was a kid. I just, you know, just assumed it. And that's what we do. So that's really taken by faith. Now, you could say, oh, well, what about, you could take like a DNA test and prove it. But then you have to trust that DNA thing really works the way they say it does, and that all of that is really, because that's based on some other things, And those things are based on some other things. So really there is not any kind of just like thing that's true. We're just always kind of coming at it, and we have to have some faith to believe anything, ultimately. And so that's what's required here. Now, when we're talking about salvation, talking about repenting, believing in Jesus, Jesus is asking us to have faith in him and ultimately in his death and resurrection and those moments. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So, but having faith in that, what Jesus did and his mission and his explanation of the world is a whole different starting place. And if you really do believe that, then it will change everything. Okay, now what about the next part? So there's a mental part you have to kind of think through. Then there's what? A spiritual part. Yes. Oh, no, I don't want to talk about that. No, we're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. Now, we've had a picture of a dove before. What does it symbolize sometimes? All right. Now the Holy Spirit is not a dove, right? Everybody understand that? It's sort of like a picture. So like, oh yeah, that sort of reminds me of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not a dove, but sometimes a dove sort of reminds us of the Holy Spirit. Now, so there's a spiritual part. So, when you become a follower of Jesus, what's really happening, sort of behind the scenes, is that there is a spiritual force that is acting upon you. And remember what our questions were? Like, who can change a sinner's heart? Who can change a sinner's heart? What's our answer? The Holy Spirit alone. That's the answer, right? That's right. That's what we find in the Bible. So if you want your heart to be changed, it's not going to happen unless the Holy Spirit does it. So there's a spiritual component. The Holy Spirit has to come and to change your heart. And there's a lot of interesting language about this in the Bible. So the Bible talks about this as like having your eyes opened. Have you ever, if you've had your eyes shut for a while or something, or if you've ever been like in a cave or something, then they turn the lights on or something, and it's like now I can see. That's kind of a good experience, right? It's like you couldn't see, but now I can see. That's good. My eyes have been opened. But then you can sort of see that in a metaphorical sort of way. So it's like you didn't understand something. Maybe there's some kind of hard math thing or something, and then finally you understand it. You could say, my eyes have been opened. You probably wouldn't say that, but you could. You could say that because it's like now you have an understanding. That's sort of one way the Bible talks about this, is becoming a follower of Jesus. Also, the idea of being awakened. It goes even further than this. Not only does it say it's sort of like being awakened, it's sort of like being risen from the dead. It's sort of like being made alive from dead to life, but sort of like being asleep and then waking up. Isn't that a weird feeling to wake up in the morning? It's kind of a weird feeling, isn't it? Not necessarily pleasant feeling, is it? Sometimes. Depending, especially the older you get, it seems like it's maybe a little bit, I don't know. But it's like because you're sort of awake and not awake, and it's like, and then there's this moment where you're fully awake, right? Okay, so the Bible says, hello, is everybody looking? The Bible says that following Jesus is kind of like waking up. In fact, in our culture right now, we have this thing going on right now where you can be a woke person. You heard that one before? Oh, yeah. So some of you are in it, right. So that's the same idea. It's like, I know some things now. That's like, now I'm really paying attention. Now I really know some things that I didn't know before. I'm not saying this good or bad. I'm just saying that is a comparison. So that's what it is sort of like to follow Jesus. If you become a follower of Jesus, you wake up in a sense. Now you understand some things that You didn't. Before, it's like you were just living in this kind of dream or something, and things sort of made sense or whatever, but really, you were asleep. Some of you are asleep right now because you're not paying attention. Yeah, but you need to be awakened and paying attention. Or the Bible also says it's like being born. It's like being born or born again, Jesus says. He says it's like being born again. So before you're born, do you know anything about being before you were born?
No.
You don't really remember that probably, do you? No, nobody really remembers that. But then you're born and then you start your life and grow up and all of that. So it's kind of like that. It's sort of like the difference between knowing something and like I know about this roller coaster. I know how high it is. I know how fast it goes. So if I know all that stuff, do I really know about riding on a roller coaster? If I stand on the ground, but I know, okay, it's this tall and it goes this fast, do I know about that roller coaster yet?
No.
But when I get in it and they strap me in and it takes off, now I know about the roller coaster. Right, yeah, okay, so now I know when I get off and I'm like, I know about the roller coaster in a much different way than I knew before. And that's what it is too. It's this experience that you have. Maybe you didn't know that was going to happen, but here it is. Or like, the first time you tasted some ice cream or something. It's like, when I was a kid, I would always get this little popsicle thing. And my parents would always get like these big ice cream sundaes. And I thought, oh, what? They don't know. This is popsicles, the best thing. And it turns out, no, I was terribly wrong. And so then once I tasted the ice cream, I'm like, oh my goodness, I could have been having this the whole time. Right. So it's like I have this new knowledge, this new understanding. That's what it's like. So that's sort of the spiritual part. All right. Then there's one more part that we're going to talk about. The physical part. The physical part. So this is sort of like talking about your physical body. So if you become a follower of Jesus, some things will change. This kind of belief and repentance, we're changing the way we used to live, and now this new understanding is upon us. If you really have that understanding that Jesus really did die on the cross, but then He rose from the dead. He became alive again for real. If you really understand that, and He did that because God is repairing the world and restoring the world that's messed up. If you really understand that, it will change your whole life. And so it will change how you act. It will change your actions. So it should result, if you become a follower of Jesus, it should result in some good works. It should result in you being now on the pathway of life. So your life is about doing things that contribute to life and flourishing and things like that, rather than going around and calling people names or stealing from people or stuff that hurts people. Instead, you're going to be on this new path where you're trying to love people and help people and serve people and generally just make the world a better place. That's what followers of Jesus do. And then as you grow, you will continue on. So another thing the Bible says about salvation, it says that if you've been saved, it says you have been saved, but then it says you are being saved right now, and it also says you will be saved. So it's like some different ways to think about it. So it's like there is this thing that happens that makes you a follower of Jesus. But then there's also this kind of continuing thing that happens. You're continuing to repent and change and think about things in a new way. And then one day you'll ultimately be saved because you'll be part of God's kingdom in the world to come. All right, so here's the verse, the last verse I'm going to read. This is like the memory verse we're going to say in a minute. This is Paul from Romans chapter 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. We know what justification is, right? And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. All right, I'm going to read that again because I think some of you were distracted. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It is kind of long. Yeah, it's kind of. So it basically is talking about your mouth confessing something. That means admitting something or declaring something, saying, yes, I do believe that Jesus really did die and really did rise again. He was really alive again. And I also believe that in my heart. I'm trusting in it. So that's sort of what Paul, how Paul sort of describes it. So the question is then, people ask is, well, how can I be saved? How can I get saved? Now, we have to be careful here because there's been kind of a lot of confusion about this. Go to the next slide. You see, some people think, if we're not careful, some people will think, oh, so this salvation thing is just sort of like a ticket to heaven kind of a thing, where it's like this one more thing that I can sort of have. And so some people, when they come to this, they think, all right, so I want to have, there's a lot of things in this world I want to get. I want to get some more money. I want to get some more stuff. I want to get some more power. I want to get some more people liking me and be on some more fame. And, oh yeah, also, I would like to have this ticket to heaven too. That would be great. And so some people, they approach it this way and they think, all right, this is one more thing to make my life great. Yeah, that one's not a ticket to heaven, no. That's a ticket to Indiana. Who would want that, right? right. But, so if you come to it like that and you say, well, I'm not really interested in changing anything. I'm not really interested in this, whatever this new reality is. I don't really care about following Jesus. I just want this extra thing. Salvation is not just some thing that you possess. I was thinking about this earlier. It's sort of like I could say Mrs. Dewberry is my wife, but it's not as if she's a possession that I own, right? No, we have a relationship. And so it's not just some thing. And that's the way Jesus is. It's not just some thing that you possess. But rather, it's a relationship. That's not the way to get into the kingdom of God. And by the way, there aren't any magic words either. Some people say, you know, if you just say these particular words, then you got it. And I don't know, that kind of misses the point. I mean, maybe you have to say some words or whatever, but, you know, it's about this, it's about repenting and believing. Now, a better question, go to the next one. A better question might be, what has God done and what is he doing? What has God done? And the answer is here. God sent Jesus. And Jesus lived a sinless life. And he came to make things right. He died on this cross so that he could become the king, so that he could defeat all of the powers of darkness that are messing this world up. And then he rose again. Came back to life. At Easter, there was this tweet. Somebody said, somebody that was like an atheist or something, they said, you know, people don't come back from the dead. It's like, and somebody else said, yeah, that's why the resurrection is such a big deal. It's like, yeah, we know people don't come back from the dead. That's why we talk about this, because it's so amazing. And so this is what Jesus did. So if you really come to accept this fact that Jesus really did die to repair this world and to put all the powers of darkness and all the powers of this world under his feet and into subjection to him and making everything the way it was supposed to be and fixing everything and cleansing sin and fixing everything the way it's supposed to be, if you really believe that and then he rose again, And then that will change you. That will change you if you really do hold on to that and say, I believe that's really true. I believe that really happened, and I believe that this is what God's really doing, and I believe that God really does love me, and I'm a part of it, and I want to be part of God's kingdom. And if that's the way you're coming at it, then that's how you can be in the kingdom of God. That's how you can make Jesus will be truly your king, and God will be truly your father, if that's how you come to it. And your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be part of the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. That's what we believe. So that's what it means to repent and believe. Believing in this new reality and then living in it.